sing, that may well be an appropriate thing to do. But now I'm going to lead us in a brief prayer before our service continues. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for this day and for this time in which we may gather to worship him. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of hearts, of minds, and of voices with which to give him praise. So inspire us again, we pray, with the good news of Christ's coming, and fill our hearts with love for him and for each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The prophet tells of the coming of a Saviour. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counsellor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The peace that Christ brings is foretold. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Making the The angel Gabriel visits Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
God's purpose is explained to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This is the word of the Lord.
the shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. the wise men visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent by God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and has made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. The supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Hail the Son, greater than the angels. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be
to God.
saying thank you to everyone who's contributed this evening, to the musicians and the singers, to Jill for getting us all together to sing, for everyone who's done refreshments, but most of all to all of you for coming along and making this occasion. I'd like to just reflect on one verse from our last reading, the last one. The last verse we read said, "So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he's inherited is superior to theirs." Now I wonder, do you believe in angels? If your answer to that is no, you are in a minority. Surveys show that in this country about 1 in 3 people definitely believe in angels. About half don't know, and only the little minority left boldly deny their existence. In America, one survey put it at 8 out of 10 people believe in angels. Books about real-life encounters with angels jostle with books about vampires and shades of grey for places on the bestsellers. For all our scientific scepticism, angels are big in our day. And they were big in Bible times too. The ancient Hebrews believed in angels, of course. Their angels were a bit less like fairies and a little bit more muscular, rather more scary. And their angels occupied all kinds of roles in the government of creation under God, not just being our guardians. The Bible reflects and affirms that worldview, although it doesn't necessarily endorse all the myths and speculations that developed around it. For the ancient Hebrews, the angels were the greatest of created beings under God himself. In fact, sometimes they got so preoccupied with angels they forgot about God altogether. But actually, there's a message here tonight for whatever you think about our feathery friends. You may not believe angels are the greatest beings in the universe, but you believe something is the greatest being in the universe. Perhaps you're one of those thirds of people who believe that intelligent aliens have already visited planet Earth, which isn't all that different an idea from angels, is it? Maybe for you then, aliens are the greatest. Or if not, perhaps something beings from above, what does this planet have to offer? For most people, it is the human race itself that's superior to the rest. And particular classes of humans stand out above the others. So in the past, it was our kings, put there to rule us by the gods, together with their ruling classes. We don't tend to invest so much confidence in our present leaders, do we? Cameron and Clegg, masters of the universe. I don't think so. Surprising numbers of people in our world do still invest this belief in our religious institutions and individuals. But in our secular world today, it's the scientists and technologists we look up to. They're the priests in our culture. They're the ones who have access to the truth. And they're the ones who provide us with the answers. And if you don't look up to the scientists, well, who have you got left to admire? The celebrities. Lady Gaga and David Beckham. Names above all names. Lord, deliver us. Nobody actually says that, do they? But they actually act like it's true when they adulate them or emulate them or envy them, follow their every moves, take every chance to build them up and to tear them down. Or maybe, just maybe, there's nobody greater in your universe. There's no one above me, you say. There's no one above us. In which case, beware, because the greatest being in your universe is you. It must be true if there's nothing else above you. If so, think carefully about whether you really want that job, won't you? Of being number one in the universe. Not an easy job to fulfill very well. And here's the point, you see. He became superior to the angels. You may or may not believe in them. I won't spend time trying to persuade you. But if you don't believe in them, you believe in something or somebody within this world, whatever it might be, you believe that he or she or they are the greatest, in some sense or other, above and beyond the rest. And directly or indirectly, that belief shapes your thoughts, your aspirations, your actions, your ambitions, by the things they offer you and demand of you, or by the things they don't offer you or demand of you. You believe in something, whatever it might be. Our message tonight is, whatever it might be, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is greater. He is superior. This little baby, whose birth we remember on Christmas, at Christmas time, 30 years a carpenter, 3 years a preacher, 3 days dead, is superior to any person or being or institution you can consciously imagine in this universe. And he's greater than any other person or thing that you might subconsciously believe in and trust in or fear. Jesus Christ is the greatest thing within our universe, greater than the angels, greater than the aliens, greater than Richard Dawkins, greater than Simon Cowell. And that great claim is based on two things: who he is, and what he's done. In a mystery we can't fathom, God the Son entered our world, became a human being. Right from the start, Jesus Christ was the physical representation of an invisible God. To see him was to see God. To touch him was to touch God. And even on that first Christmas day, when Jesus could do nothing except cry and suck and fill his nappy, he was the greatest being in the physical universe, because he was God as well as human. That reminds me of a song that was popular many years ago now, a song that began, "What if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, like a stranger on the bus trying to find his way home?" Well, the answer is, he is. It's not speculation, not a whimsical song. It's a reality. God is and was one of us. And yet that's not all that verse is getting to. It says this man became superior to the angels through the incredible events in his life. He died to purify us from our sins, and then he rose from the grave to the earth, from the earth up to heaven. There's now a man at the same level as God. There's an inhabitant of our world elevated to God's world. And that's why he's superior to angels and aliens, kings and queens, scientists and scholars, celebrities and sportsmen, let alone ourselves or anything or anyone else that we might rate above the rest. He is greater because of who he is, God coming into our world. And he's greater because of what he has done, a human being going into God's world. Now, if that's true, if he's the greatest thing, being in our universe, what does that mean? We could be here all night. Here's the one thing I want to say. It means he can help us. You see, people buy these books on aliens because they offer a message of hope to mankind. That's the top selling one I checked on eBay. They seek out aliens because they believe they can save us from our planet. On the 21st of December, there were indeed people gathering at various points around our world to be rescued from the aliens about the world being destroyed. The world was going to be destroyed, wasn't it, this week? But it didn't actually happen, at least not here in Norwich. Certainly no aliens came to help. We admire the scientists because they can heal our sicknesses and invent us gadgets that do our work for us. We follow celebrities because they can entertain us and distract us from our own boring lives by their ridiculous lives. We rely on ourselves because, well, what else is there to rely upon? All of which may or may not do us a little bit of God good. But if Jesus really is the greatest, then he can do what none of them can. He can bring us back to God, our Creator, so that we can know him as our Father. as the father that we all need, as the father who perhaps let us down in the first place or who wasn't there, or as the father that our real dads tried to be really hard and didn't quite make it. And he can keep us in that relationship, and he can make us sure of life to come in a way that no one else can. We all need help, and this is the help we all need. To know God for ourselves. So consider for a moment. Who or what is the greatest thing, the greatest person, the greatest being in your universe? And what do they actually do for you? And if it's just a warm glow about the future, if it's a bit of distraction and entertainment, if it's just the hope that they might invent some new medicine, or if it's just a little feather on your pillow to mark that the angel's been, well, they will do fine if that's all you need. But you need more, and I need more. None of those other things can bring you to God. Only Jesus can. None of those other things can keep you with God. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus Christ can give us what we need. And our prayer here at Surrey Chapel for all of you is that this Christmas time you might find him. I shall sing, I shall pray, and then you will sing. That's good. Heavenly Father, there are so many great things in our world and in our universe. There are angels above and beyond us that we cannot imagine. For all we know, there are wonderful things on other planets where we've never been and probably will never go. There certainly are many fantastic things on this world, in this creation, with the various different people that there are, with their gifts and their skills and their abilities. All the things that they can do, which we admire and look up to. But we know that there is one thing, one person greater than all of them in this whole universe. Your son, Jesus Christ, who was just a little baby all those years ago, but now reigns in heaven alongside you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that each one of us tonight, this Christmas time, would find him and know him for themselves. Amen. So, one thing the angels do is sing. Let's join them. Hark, the herald angels sing. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. So please don't rush away. Refreshments will be... you can come and have some hot punch from the side here.